Hello and welcome to the SEAI's 180 Degrees podcast. I'm your host, Sinead Ryan, and over the course of the next 12 episodes, I'll be joined by special guests to talk about the state of play of Ireland's energy revolution, how we can be smarter energy users, what renewable technologies are coming into our homes and communities, and how small businesses can benefit from decarbonising now. Hello, and you're very welcome along to episode 8 of the 180 Degrees podcast. I'm Sinead Ryan, your host. And this week we are looking at data centres. They're local. They have been the subject of debate and chat across Ireland's media about our electricity use and the demand that they place on our system. Can we cope with that demand in the future? Do we need to add more capacity to the grid for data centres? And what about all of that electricity required to run them? We have our Climate Action Plan for Ireland, which is roadmap updated every single year. And we're looking at the right actions for Ireland's emissions for 2030. And can the growth of more data centres fit into it easily? We'll be discussing this and more in this episode. And I'm delighted to be joined again by Margie McCarthy of the SEAI and Dr. Lee Carroll of the SEAI. And you're both very welcome back to studio, folks, for this very important episode. Now, look, we have to separate the myth from the monster when it comes to data centres. We need foreign direct investment. We like these big American companies coming into Ireland. We hate the amount of our national grid that they're using up. So let's start with the facts. How much of our electricity needs do they use? What extra capacity would we have if they weren't here?
So I might take that, yeah. So currently in 2023, data centres use up about 20% or one-fifth of Ireland's electricity supply.
Gosh, it is a lot.
It is, and it's increasing quite quickly. So from 2021 to 2022, that demand increased by 30%. So really, it's the rate of the increase of electricity demand that's really putting data centres on the radar from an energy perspective.
So what people are thinking when they think data centres are these large American multinationals, so beloved of government for their investment in Ireland and so important to our economy coming in. Is this the price that we have to pay, Margie, to have the Apples and the Microsofts and the Googles here?
I think that we have to take a step back a bit from the not necessarily a step back completely from the ownership, but ultimately data centres all of us rely on at the moment. So globally, but also nationally, from every one of us on our mobile phones and our smart technologies to, I'm sure this podcast could even sit on a cloud. So our banking, even the way in which we want to manage energy into the future will be a lot down to our smart use of that. So being able to turn things on and off and store things and all that happens because we process data and store data in a cloud or in a hub. And data centers are the fundamental basis of that. We do have a large part of data centres in Europe sitting in Ireland, and there is a whole range of reasons for that.
Well, give us some of the reasons. I presume one is our, what we laughingly call our temperate climate. But I mean, when we look at countries, say, parts of America or other parts of the world, they're either far too hot or far too cold, maybe.
Interestingly, actually, a number of years back, SEAI co-funded a report on that. And yes, one of the reasons that organisations look to various different countries to locate their data centres is on the basis of their weather. So our climate has a very small range of change. So it never gets too cold, never gets too hot. And so it means you don't have as much heating and cooling demand in a data centre. But actually, people or organisations that have chose to locate in Ireland pointed to other factors, which they call the five P's, our people. So we've a really well-educated population used to developing tech. Our policy, we have a stable government, we have democracy, we're English-speaking, we use common law, we have attractive corporation law. Our pipes, so that's the fibre network that exists, and that's why we have a large cluster of data centres sitting on the circumference of the M50, so we can talk about that. Our degree, because we have a long history of supporting tech and businesses to build and foreign direct investment, as you just said. So all of those came into play. And then also there's power. And power is where we have the facility and a reliable, safe supply of power and a good, strong grid, of which we do. But power, I suppose, is where the challenge is coming in now, because we have to ensure that we're not experiencing constraints in supply because of an overgrowth in demand from data centres.
And one of the other things I read about why data centres love Ireland so much is because a lot of these companies, of course, are based in California. And am I right in thinking that one of the reasons that we're so popular is that we're not on any fault lines? There's not going to be any earthquake around the M50, we hope. There's not going to be, you know, volcanoes or tornadoes or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, Margie mentioned the climate and the temperature, and those are factors, but proximity is a kind of a key point. So Ireland is really seen as being the gateway to Europe for many American countries. And Dublin is kind of unique in its data center mix, is that we have a really strong blend of hyperscale data centers and co-located data centers. And you really don't find that blend in other European capitals. So that proximity of the different types of data centers creates a very strong center of mass around Dublin that is very attractive for investment.
Okay, so far, so popular, there's another P, with the suppliers of the data centres and the people who build them. But there is another P, a price to be paid by Ireland to have this. Because, I mean, you know, Mark, you were talking about what the data centres do and all the reliance now we have on technology, on the cloud, and of course we need systems to operate that. Do they all need to be in Ireland for the whole of Europe? Are we not getting hammered on our emissions because they happen to be in Ireland?
I suppose we're part of a global system, same way as our interconnectedness with electricity. So I suppose the important thing in terms of our data center growth is when you look at our policy in Ireland for decarbonisation, so to try and reduce our emissions, we are pointing a lot of our energy use towards electrification. Okay, so from our heat, we've talked about heat pumps a lot. We've talked about EVs and all that. They're all going to sit into our electricity and our electricity grid, and our generation has to be able to provide for that demand growth. And that's a good decision, because in a net balanced equation, there's less emissions associated with the electricity because we have a target for renewables on it than would be in using fossil fuels to get our heat and
okay.
transport.
Lee, right? How many data centres are actually using electricity in this way?
So currently we have 82 data centres operating in Ireland, and another 14 in with planning permission granted. That's of June of last year. And just for reference, about 20 of those will be regarded as being large data centres, you know, of significant scale.
The big, huge ones that you see low-lying in kind of brownfield sites.
Yeah, it's to differentiate between, there are some very small specialist data centres maybe that are optimised for banking or for animation of graphic design, and those, you really shouldn't lump them in with the hyperscales of Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Facebook. It's like comparing a rowing boat to a cruise ship, so it's important to
So
to
of
make
the
that
cruise
distinction.
Ships, how many are using both electricity, of which we have, what, about 40% renewables?
Yeah.
But that means 60% non-renewable sources.
That's it. So the data centers are, generally speaking, they're drawing down from the same grid as everybody else. So from a statistical perspective, the data centers practically are drawing down electricity that's at approximately 40% of renewable rate.
So I'm curious then, because, you know, obviously the politics of this would seem to be at divergence. We want foreign direct investment, even though the data centers themselves don't generate many jobs. It doesn't take many people to run them. Without them, we possibly wouldn't get all the other stuff. However, that we have climate goals, we have climate targets, and we really, really need to meet those, or we get fined, and it's also not a good thing. Is there not a direct contradiction there, Lee? And do, like, people do see that as a contradiction?
I don't necessarily know if it's a contradiction. I think some of this is more around of a timing issue. I mean, data centers, so digitization can really help decarbonization. So data centers themselves can act as like large loads that can incentivize and bring an economy of scale for additional renewable electricity investment that everybody benefits. And like through, remote working or, international business calls being taken, via the cloud on a computer, you can cut down on commuting emissions and transport emissions. And then the data centers themselves can opt into corporate renewable power purchasing agreements that can further supplement investment in renewables. There's really a balance there, I think, and it's probably important to make that point.
Yeah, and it's a fair point to make. I mean, what it effectively means then that if I work from home, because this data center allows me to do so, then I am saving elsewhere on, the power and the energy that I would use to be in an office, a powered office. Is that at its simplest? I know it is very simplified, but is that the point?
It's getting there. I mean, electricity is one of the things that we have a clearest path to making renewable. So like we have an ambition to make 80% of our electricity renewable by 2030. We won't get anywhere close to decarbonizing, for example, the diesel or the petrol in your car or the jet fuel in an international flight. So
we can do this.
Yeah, if you can move effort, I guess, onto electricity and make that electricity renewable, that's the way forward. Really, the challenge is just around the rate at which electricity demand from the data centers is coming online when we're trying to make that renewable shift.
Yeah, because it can appear sometimes to be a bit cart before the horse. We got all in these data centres first, we allowed them to be built. And I think lots of people will be shocked to hear there'll be nearly 100 of them in the country. People can think of that maybe 3 or 4 that they know in their area. But now we have to kind of do this off the back foot. But I think you did make an interesting point there that these are money bags, these organisations. They have deep pockets. Is there any way, or are we, exploiting that, Margie, to make sure that they are paying their fair share towards this?
So that's the critical thing, really. As Lee said, we have a target for electricity to be 80% renewable by 2030. As demand centres demand grows, that 80% becomes 80% of a bigger number. And demand centres are kind of the trajectory out to 2030 is they'll be about 27% of our demand. That's what the model is telling us at the moment. And so to do this within our climate obligations, the government released a statement on the role of data centres. And recently we had a letter issued by the Climate Change Advisory Council as well, which put mandated or recommended mandated conditions around data centres.
They weren't
and
happy.
Commissioning. Yeah, yeah.
It was a rap on the knuckles, that letter.
Yeah, well, I suppose to get to Lee's point, they can play a role, but we have to make sure that they do play the right role. And so there are a couple of things. One is make sure they're designed from the outset to capture waste heat. So any of us that have sat with a laptop on our lap or held a phone in our hands while we're watching something knows the amount of heat that comes out of that. So think about that in large, large scale in a big warehouse. The amount of heat that can be captured out of a data center is immense. But you have to design in the capturing of that heat from the very beginning.
So it
is very difficult.
The roof. Yeah, it's a bit like insulating the attic in one sense. And I know that we mentioned in our last episode, which was on district heating, and this is that was a fascinating episode, by the way, because it was all about that heat capture and heat storage and re-diverting it to useful areas. Lee, there is the Tala project that has taken with the district heating, and Margie, you were talking about it last time. That utilises to some extent some waste from data centers. Is that the way forward?
Yeah, it can certainly help. So really you don't want to waste any energy going forward. So if it's recoverable, we should work to recover it. And as Margie said, that recovery can be made more efficient if that is designed in. It's obviously more difficult to retrofit that into an existing data center than it would be to build it into the new data centers that are coming online.
Of course, because it's cheaper to it makes much more sense to do it that way. Margie, is there more that can be done to ensure that where data centers are allowed or built, and they have to feed into the national grid, they have to take their charge from it, that at least ordinary people are not going to be disadvantaged as a result of it?
So there are remaining two real conditions that need to be mandated. One is that data centres are located where it won't cause a constraint in the existing grid. And you know, that's a real potential to develop locally in areas. For example, we're going to have a significant amount of renewable energy coming in on our West Coast. Is there a potential to develop hubs all around the country that'll bring jobs, that'll bring kind of revitalization to rural communities, for example, where a data center is part of that hub, where renewables can come in, it's playing its part in flexibility around where electricity is flowing and storing energy, and also so like locating high users plus storage in the one location. So that's one. Don't go ahead with data centers where there are constraints at the moment on the grid. That is critical. And then the third part really is about requiring data centers to play their part, so to pay their part in both infrastructural upgrading and enhancements, so that the grid is enhanced to be able to cope with these larger demands, and the additional renewable rollout, so that they would play their part in commissioning and deploying renewable energy or supporting others to deploy renewable energy. That's equivalent to the demand that the data center is going to need when it's up and running. And the last bit is making sure that that's available, that demand supply, in advance of the data centers being commissioned and being operational.
Yes, but there's also...
They're big caveats.
Yes, it is. They are big caveats. And there's also another aspect to it, because it's not just getting the data center in, up, built and locked into whatever. It's about the lifetime operation of that, Lee. What is the lifespan of a data center, and is there an exponential as we get more digitalized and more global? Is there an exponential dependency then on the ones that we already have?
So the lifetime of a data center, if you're speaking about the building, can be actually quite long, because they really lend themselves to being kind of continuously retrofit. So it can be a little bit like, you know, painting the Golden Gate Bridge. The guys can kind of fill racks with the latest technology, and by the time they fill the building, the newest optical transceivers are out of date and they can kind of go back. So the same building can have more and more electricity demand as it goes forward. So typically in the industry perspective, they'll have a linear increase for the first 5 years, and then they'll level out. And after that, then they would need to add more density or more real estate to increase the demand.
So it seems to me that that will only work if the timing of everything else matches up. So as we approach 2030 and we are moving from 40% renewables up to 60, 70% renewables, they have to dovetail before the data centers become much more of a burden. Is that fair?
That's it. Really, I mean, there's a nice analogy in there around like dancing. So kind of supply and demand is a dance. You really don't, if you have demand exceeding supply, you have blackouts. And then if you have supply exceeding demand, then you've wasted investment in infrastructure. So you want the supply and the demand to be as close as possible. And really, in the past, what's happened is that data centers or other electricity demand in the economy increased, and the supply was just brought in line to match it. But as we move over to intermittent renewables like wind, it's kind of the supply that will dictate the pace, you know, either the rollout of the renewables or the availability, and it's the demand that will have to be moderated. So it's almost as if, like, halfway through a dance, you're swapping partner. So I think right now we're having a few missteps because as that transition occurs, but it will occur, and it'll just be the new normal in a few years.
Well, the music might have stopped for a little while, Margie, because we are not planning for any more data centres after this next tranche is in. There's been a kind of a pause caused to it. What are we waiting for to catch up, or why would people understand that to be the case?
I suppose the pace at which we're deploying renewables is the big deciding factor there. And also knowing that between now and 2030, what makes up the difference? If we have a certain percentage of renewables, what makes up the difference is fossil fuels. And we have we're moving away from as intensive coal use in the system. We're bringing in more efficient gas generation as an interim measure. All those things come into play, which mean we have a reducing carbon intensity as we move through the plan. But at the moment, it's quite carbon intensive. So it goes back to critically, it's the timing. And as Lee said, trying to get things right where we're not causing increased emissions from an electricity system that we're very heavily, if you think about it, as we said earlier, heat and transport are slower in their pathway to decarbonisation. We're very heavily reliant on electricity to perform and perform well against the targets. So it's a very delicate balance to try and get that right between now and 2030.
Are we demanding enough of these big global tech companies, Lee, when it comes to this? I mean, what are we insisting on, and what more could we ask them to do? As I said, these are big companies with deep pockets. They need us to some extent as much as we need them.
So there's an expectation or requirement going forward that additional investment will come with a renewable power purchase agreement, so that when a new data centre is added, it must bring and add directly to the Irish grid the equivalent electricity demand that it will. It's like a bring your own beer. You know, if you're coming to the party, you have to kind of bring your own, not just electricity, but renewable electricity to the island.
So is there a possibility then, if we get this right, that we could see in the future that not only are the data centres using renewable sources in the main, they're not feeding as much from our kind of fossil fuel end of the grid, but in fact they could even be giving back some of it?
Definitely. I think there's huge scope there. So we're all familiar with, say, the concept of a German car or a Swiss watch or Scandinavian design. I think there's a real opportunity for Irish sustainable data. We have huge wind potential. We have a huge potential to have very, very high renewable electricity. We've got a very strong data protection commissioner. We're in Europe, so we have the strength of the GDPR. And again, that kind of pro-business and stable politically. I think there's a massive opportunity there for Ireland to be a real leader in future green data.
And make us kind of the centre of Europe for that, because one follows the other. I mean, if the data centres are here, that's where you get the direct investment, not just because of that, because of all the things you pointed out, Margie, English speaking and well education, all that. Customers, consumers, people who pay their electricity bill, their eye-wateringly expensive electricity bills at the moment, will know that they are charged one of the highest rates in Ireland for electricity per unit. Do data centres pay enough at the moment for what they are draining from the grid? Do we charge them enough?
So large energy customers, they enter into more bilateral agreements with energy
discounts,
energy
isn't
suppliers.
It? Discounts.
But it's an economy of scale. Also, data centres, they have a very flat electricity demand profile during the day. So it's highly predictable. And what business likes is predictability. Whereas homeowners, they get up in the morning, they might have an electric shower. So they have these kind of spikes, so they come home and they put on maybe the electric oven.
We're charged for the spikes though, because we're told if we use our electricity at home or our gas between 7 and 9 and 5 to 7, you're going to be hammered for that cost.
That's it. I mean, the data centres will also kind of almost have like a prepaid. They will guarantee the purchase of certain quantities of electricity. And so that reduces the risk to the supplier. So there are... I would emphasize that's not necessarily exclusive to data centers. Any large electricity demander would have a preferential rate, and you know, also they'd have a kind of commitment to purchase. So it just makes it a lower risk for the suppliers, and therefore they get a better price.
Yeah, and I mean, you'd see that in big office blocks. You know, they're not open during the night, but they can guarantee a consistency during the day where people are going to be in working. Okay, so more data centres, but only in the right way and only at the right time. Is that really what we should be aiming towards, Margie?
I think what we're saying is they have a benefit, but we need to do a planned, considered approach if we are to be the host to data centres. One thing that you were just speaking about with Lee there is, in parallel, we also need to consider what it is, what data we're processing and storing in these locations. And the International Energy Agency did a really good piece recently around how our internet users in globally have doubled, but the actual traffic has increased by 20 times what it was back in 2010. And yet the energy demand has been much flatter. So, the energy use within data centres has been efficient to date. It's just the way the workload is growing that is causing this massive increase. So we need to consider, and that's a big broader conversation.
Yeah.
right?
That, but it doesn't mean that if for instance, you have all these tech companies who suddenly, you know, triple their capacity because of technology, that they're necessarily going to triple their requirement for electricity in Ireland. You know, they can run.
But I think with all things, like we're trying to be less wasteful with food. We're trying to make sure we capture every bit of energy, heat that we can. We need to be sensible about the way in which we're using and processing data as well, and make sure that we're not being wasteful there too. It's just something that needs to be thought about in the overall equation.
Right. Well, listen, that's been a very interesting discussion for me. I must say I probably came to it a bit on the negative side about the old data centres, but certainly the benefits at the moment seem to outweigh the stresses on the system. And as long as we get things right in terms of planning, it's not a free for all. So to round up then, what one thing would you like to see done better or differently in this area, Lee?
I guess it's just the connectedness of the planning, so that the planning of additional data centres or additional electricity demand from the data centres, that there's a stepwise connection with the rollout of renewable electricity, so that dance, that partnership between supply and demand continues seamlessly.
We should be the leading partner, should we?
Maybe SEI is in the corner, like the dance teacher, you know, trying to keep everybody in sync.
Right. Right, dance teacher, what would you like to see?
Look, similar, I'm going to be bold and say two. One is the timing is critical. The conditions that we've listed and discussed, they have to be mandated. Making sure that data centres are playing a role in ensuring there's no constraints, that there is waste heat captured, and that they are playing their part in additional renewables to meet their demand. The second piece is that we are very careful not to allow our for data centres to go ahead with on-site generation using fossil fuels, because that will lock them into a fossil fuel use for a period of time that could be anything up to 25 years in an industry perspective. And that will be a big mistake. At least once they're on the electricity grid, they're tied into the 80% renewable targets. And that means we're on a decarbonisation pathway with them, and we'll get to be Ireland's green data centre host. If we get locking into fossil fuels, that's a different story, and that's not a good way forward for Ireland.
So welcome them, but not the whole Cade Mead Fáilte out. All right. Well, maybe RT will do a series dancing with the data centres in due course with all of that. Listen, that's all we have time for, folks, on this episode. Tune in next week for a mini episode where we get the lowdown and a quick fire round all about data centres. Thank you to my guests, Margie McCarthy and Dr. Lee Carroll from the SEAI. If you've enjoyed this episode of the 180 Degrees podcast, well then why not review and subscribe to it now? And of course, share it with family and friends to find out more about renewables and energy. Well then, check out seai.ie.